But it get too much in your blood, it'll wreck you, it'll ruin you. Besides that, I ain't too much on organized sports, no way. I've been down that road. Don't care for your plan, but put God first, serve God. Ask God to make a missionary out of you. Ask God to make a deacon or a preacher or a superintendent. And if some of you are here that has caused trouble, shame on you if you have turned the minds of our young men not to desire to be a preacher or a deacon or a trustee or a teacher. If you've misbehaved and you have soured them, God will hold it on you if you've soured them not to desire the offices of the church. Amen, grown up. I think if we'll handle it right, there'd be young men saying, I'd like to be an elder like that old fella. I'd like to be a teacher like she is. That can be. That can be. All right, something over there. There was a time that I thought that I could conquer anything. I knew it all. I had nothing left to try. Well, blinded to disaster, my world kept spinning faster, and I felt the very soul of me would die. And desperation brought me back to the old rugged cross. When the world had turned to black, I could not see. Like a frightened child lost in the night, I searched for the light. And in my desperation, well, Jesus shined on me. Help me sing. Now I'm a man who can walk again and be proud of who I am. Will the spin I once held tight, I've now let go. All the desert fair was not a cloud to darken my mind. But I tell you now, it wasn't always so. Well, desperation brought me back to the old rugged cross. When the world had turned so black, I could not see. Like a frightened child lost in the light, I searched for the light. And in my desperation, Jesus shined on me. And in my desperation, well, Jesus shined on me. I guess you know I like that part. Well, and in my desperation, when my Jesus shined on me. And in my desperation, when Jesus shined on me. Could you sing it? Well, in my desperation, Jesus shined on me. Could you raise your hand? Oh, and in my desperation, Jesus shined on me. I like that part, in my desperation. Well, desperation brought me back to the old rugged cross. Help me sing. When the world had turned to black, I could not see. Like a frightened child lost in the night, I searched for the light. And in my desperation, Jesus shined on me. Just raise your hand and give him a good praise. That'll be all. Oh, if I had a better voice, I'd really holler, whether you liked it or not. I don't know if you've ever been lost in the night with no hope, laying in a hospital dying with cancer. No God seemingly to deal with your soul. Laying there in the midnight hours, tired, weary, nerves shot, still couldn't go to sleep. Taking drugs every 4 hours, shaking like a leaf. I've been there. But in my desperation, Jesus. Sometimes we're under too much pressure. I ain't aiming on being under it tonight. Oh, you preachers, do what you want to. Set the nerve, move. All the rest of you up here, do what you want to. No, you better not. I may get you. But I'll tell you one thing. I am happy because the Lord shined on me. Brother Dave, you believe in demonstration? I don't have time to prove it to you, but I do believe in it. You go ahead and set like a starchhead if you want to. Be like a knot on a log. If God wanted you to be a knot, he'd made you once. But he didn't make me a knot on a log. He made me as a man with a hand that could raise it to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. I know what it is to play at night and have them to call your name and all that stuff and the cheerleaders hollering, put him back in, don't take him out. I've been there when I've outdone myself, jumped higher than I could. There's a spirit got a hold of me. I've been there to have the winning points to win the game. I know what that feeling is out there. I want to tell you what, your body just has one way to manifest feeling. And if you've been out there in the world and you've had the ball games and all that kind of stuff to thrill you and you felt chills run up and down your spine. Now listen, don't count it strange. I like to got fouled up when I got in church. I got up to sing, I got up to testify, and I felt that same seemingly fleshly feeling that went through me. Well, the body only has one way to react, but I got a different spirit that got in me. Yes, sir, I felt some of that same, somewhat, I guess you'd call tingling, and some of that same sort of fleshly feeling, if you know what I'm talking about. But yet I was born again, and the body, as I said, only knows one way to react. In the world, I said, hooray for the ball game. In the world, I kicked my legs, I turned cartwheels. I seen a boy today because they won a ball game. Did you see that turn, that flop out there, trying to turn a Somerset spring on his hand? Didn't make it over and hit flat of his back. Didn't make it over. I didn't see him get up a grumbling. He just glad, I guess, they won. And he pulled that stupid deal like the one that hadn't broke his neck. Yes, sir. I manifested in the world. Yes, sir. I believe in that manifestation. But now since I've been saved, I believe it's indecent and in order. I told you last night, if you're lying, don't you shout. Don't you get up here and carry on if you're stealing tonight. And not bases, my dear brother. if you're stealing and you're not doing right and lust has got a hold of you, don't you get in here and shout and try to speak in tongues and carry on. You get good and saved and sanctified and get the Lord in your heart. Then I have time for spiritual manifestation when the young lady's heart is right and the young men's heart is right. One of the most dangerous things you counselors can do is to shove somebody that ain't saved and their heart ain't right and to shove them into spiritual worship. You'll ask for wildfire and devil possession and what have you. But make sure they're prayed through good and then say, son, lift up your voice and praise to God. Lift up your hands in honor to God. Hallelujah. I believe in old time salvation. Don't you? Tonight, let me preach on this. I guess I'm supposed to have a text. I think that's about ruining us preachers. Getting hung up on a bunch of texts. But I think I want to talk about the chains of habit. Last night we talked to you about if you lie, you'll fly. And today, there's somebody used that. And they pointed at a girl and said, if you lie, you're going to fly. Yes, sir, I hope that goes on this campground until you quit lying. It's one of the chains of habit that gets a hold of you that's hard to break. And it gets harder to break. I don't think I'm even going to read all these scriptures. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, it tells you as a youth to remember the Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil years draweth not nigh. That's not all of it. That's what I want of it. In the New Testament, Jesus met a young ruler, and he spoke to this young ruler. Let me have your attention. I want all attention on the rostrum because they're watching you, and I want yours out there. And the young ruler come up to him and said, Jesus, what do you think I'll do to get saved? Don't you blow that bubble. Okay. And Jesus looked at him and said, now, son, if you want to be saved. Yeah. You're going to have to not steal. You say, I got you. Oh, got him? Oh. And was he dreaming? Oh, he's looking. Okay. And he said, you can't fraud, cheat, lie, steal one another. And he said you not to commit adultery, fornication, all the sex sins. You ain't supposed to do that. I'm thinking what Jesus told this rich young man is what he'd like for all y'all to hear too, and that's what he's telling you. And then he said, you over here, that you ought to honor your father and mother. Because if you don't, you get the ever-living daylight slapped out of you. No, he didn't say that, but you best honor them. And people will look at you better. And he named off several little things there. You're supposed to love your neighbor, and you're not to kill. And then the rich young man had a lot of moolah, a lot of money. You know what that is? You know what that is? Stuff to buy stuff with. Wouldn't you like to have one of them big old Eskimo pies about right now if we was out of church? Huh? What do you mean, no? Hush. Man, they're good. I'm going to like this. You grown up just that tight. This youth camp, this is a penalty you get for coming if you don't like it. And then he said, now, you've got a bunch of money in your pocket. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do, son, since you ain't paid tithes with it and you ain't shared it with nobody. Now, you go out to concession tonight and you buy a young brother a pop and you buy another in the candy bar and you buy another in a hamburger. That's a little hard. You want to sort of hold on your money, don't you? Uh-huh. Now, I'll tell you something. First of all, Jesus was not mean to this young man. I don't feel it in that passage he was saying, go give every stinking bit of money away that you've got. That don't sound like Christ to me in this particular instance. I think he was getting the point over. He seen the thoughts and the intents of his heart. And he knowed it wasn't in his heart to share with nobody. Can I borrow your comb? No, you may have life. Well, don't blame me. Can I borrow some of your hairspray? No. Buy your own. And I doubt there's many of you guys that's asked to borrow any soap. But in case there is a few. No, you can't borrow it. Have you ever run into that attitude? That's a bad habit to get in. Jesus knew that he didn't want to share. And all of a sudden, this young man got sorrowful of the heart because he wasn't going to kill. He wasn't going to steal. He wasn't going to blow bubbles. No, I got it mixed up on that. But he wasn't going to lie, and he wasn't going to cheat, and he wasn't going to dishonor mom and dad, but he wasn't going to share his money. Boys, when I was a small boy, pushing a lawnmower and a mowing yards. My dad told me, he said, when you make $2, son, you owe 20 cents to the ministry. I know what it is to work hard and go across a dusty, hot town in Oklahoma when the old locust is about the only thing that's a singing and everything's parched and the hot winds are blowing, and pull a little old lawnmower behind you and go down there and mow the old lady's yard and the other old fella's yard and that there chicken pen, some of you heard me preach about, and make $1 or $2. And when Dad said, give a dime of the way, son, on a dollar, it's a little rough. But, boys, that's what's brought me here tonight. I'll have to say that honestly. I have not been stingy in my giving, and God knows that. And God has rewarded me.
Hallelujah.
I'm not broke tonight. I ain't rich, but I ain't broke. Thank God. The rich young man went away. Habits got a hold of him that he couldn't break. They got as strong as chains. Hold on. I hope you're helping me here. Uh-oh, I caught another bubble. That's a big one, too. That's a big boy. go brush your teeth. You boys and girls that's come to youth camp and your mom ain't here, you ornery little what? Rats. No. Well, I didn't say it. He did. I just repeated. Stinking breath. Oh, you got it. They come up here and won't brush your teeth. That's a bad habit to get in, not to brush your teeth. After a while, you look like old Yellow Beaver. Huh? After a while, there'll be a young lady come up in front of you and say, what's your name? And you'll go, well, and she'll turn and walk off because you wilted her with your breath. Huh? These is little things that start at home. Comb your hair, son. Rain's messed up a lot of y'all tonight, or either you didn't even comb it. Find your part over there and comb it. Part it on the man's side if you can. What's that, left side? Got his comb in his pocket. You can wait for that church. Son, you ought to clean your ears out every once in a while. Personal hygiene. It's easy to get in a habit as a young man, not to comb your hair, not to brush your teeth, but all of a sudden your world will fall in one of these days, and you're going to find out that it takes more than perfume to cover. You're going to have to wash also. Huh? And it's embarrassing. You know, did you know I know grown men tonight? I know of preachers that some won't even ask them to come because of the green in their teeth. I didn't stretch it a bit either. Now, I don't go too far with this, but I'm saying there's some bad habits you can get. Won't send you to hell. Make people sit on the other side of the church from you. Even in your dress, in your conduct. Now, I want you to listen to me, boys. You can get to the place in church that you all chew gum. What a wonderful habit. What a bad habit to look out and see you. And then find it under the bench. And then me having to pull my shoe off out there and take my knife and cut the gum off of it. I almost want to put it back in your teeth. Let you brush that off. Oh, I forgot being taped. You and tape laying there laughing. We're having a good time. We're not mean. All right, bad habits. You don't know bad. There's some good habits to get into. Now, cows are creatures of habit. At 3 o'clock in the morning in Oklahoma, the old cow starts toward the barn. At 2 o'clock in the evening, the old dairy cow starts. You know, she just goes and just rambles. And I'm glad God didn't make me to be a creature of habit of that extent, that I just, like a cow going in a barn, stand there and eat and turn around and come out. But there's some good things that we're trying to teach you as ministers and as leaders, that if you'll develop them as a young man, it'll help you so much when you get older. Now, you boys listen to me. Huh? Don't you tear that up. Leave that alone. Now, I'm going to get serious with you now, okay? All right. And if you don't, it's going to wreck you, and it's going to ruin you.
Remember the Creator in the days of your youth while you're at the Ohio Youth Camp. Remember Jesus before you get in jail. Remember Jesus before your home is broke. Remember Jesus before you're a dope head. Remember Jesus before you're a drunk. And the evil days draw not nigh your door and your heart, and you'll have so much happier life and a better world to live in. Amen. I want you grown-ups to help me tonight. Hallelujah. Habits are something like weeds in my garden. I didn't plant them. I helped Brother Collins the other day over in his garden. Did you plant them weeds? Did you really try to get them to grow like that? I'm telling you, they don't even fertilize, and they just grow up. And after a while, they'll take over all the people. One row, you went and killed the whole row out, didn't you? Just wasn't worth messing with. Weeds. I know some of you kids grow like weeds, but now listen, some of the habits that you have, and bad habits mainly, you don't really have to strive for them. You don't really have to labor for them. You don't have to pray for them. They just come seemingly automatic as the wind blows them through the air. Seemingly Satan puts them in front of you in the forms of temptation. And before long, you're a young man that's caught up in some kind of habit, or a young lady that is hard to break. I deal with grown-ups now that started as young men. I started as a young man with a grapevine, like to scorch my tonsils out. And later I went on and I seen my grandpa smoking Winston cigarettes and Camel cigarettes. And they said they'd walk a mile for him. I believe he would. He smoked 3 packs a day. And I seen him take them things and put them in his mouth and light a match. I didn't even have enough sense to know you sucked on them to get them lit. And then I seen him take that smoke in his mouth and ran back so dignified and snorted out like a bull and right out both nostrils. It just streamed. I thought, what a man. I seen another fella rear back and go, whoo, 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 and blow smoke rings in his window. And I thought, man, what a thing if I could do that. I stole a pack of cigarettes, went down on the creek, me and 2 other boys, and we figured if you're going to smoke, you might as well divide it up, smoke a whole pack at once. So we went down at school hour and broke it up between 3 of us and started puffing. And I tried to swallow that. I didn't know about that smoke. And anyway, you that understand, I tried blowing it out my nose. It went seemingly out my ears, around my eyeball, went down in here. I choked. I got down on my knees, and Ronnie Halsted got on right behind me and got to beat me on the back. Said, you're going to be all right, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Went back to school, sat down, and I called the old battle axe. I shouldn't have never done that. She is a precious, grippy old teacher that I had. And she was up the desk, and she said, she's like a bloodhound. I thought, oh boy, I'm into it now. Seemed like I smelled tobacco, boys, 6th grade. Dave, you know, you been around? You been smoking? Me? No. No. Later on, that kept a growing. And did you know I went to the hospital here a while back in the state of Arkansas? And there I met a man named Perry Jones that started as a young man like some of you have tried it. Had ate a hole out as big as a quarter in a 24-hour period that I could see all of the workings down inside of his throat. Here's a man that tried to get off cigarettes, and seemingly he never could do it. He got a bad habit when he's a boy, and tonight his body lays in the state of Arkansas in a little country graveyard. He could have still been living and possibly even been here at this camp. He could still been raising his grandchildren and taking them a hunting and a fishing. But some little boy will not have a grandpa, and some little girl will not have a grandpa because of a man that got a bad habit that was as strong as a chain, and it chained him until he died. Hallelujah. In the works of the flesh of the New Testament, it gives you 17 works of the flesh. 4 of those deals with sex sins. The next 9 of them deals with temper sins. And that's all I want to deal with. But of the 17, 4 and 9 is what? 13? 13 from 17 is what? 4. So these two make up most of the works of the flesh that deal with lust in your heart concerning sex sins and temper that's in your mind. Did you know that here on this ground, I haven't seen it yet, and I hope I don't, but if you ain't careful, there'll be an old tempter that'll come to you, and when you lose the ball game, there's something in there that rises up with malice and anger and strife. It does not have to stay there, but if you let that thought come into your mind, let me tell you something, children. If a thought comes into your mind to do evil or to do bad, that does not mean that you're lost and that you're not saved, but every thought that comes through there, you need to repent to God for that thought that come there, and then that will help erase that from your mind and your record. The more of them thoughts go through your head of lust and of anger, and the more they go through there, and you don't say, Jesus, help me, and I'm sorry, and deliver me, after a while they'll take plant in there, and it'll be like a chain. It will chain your mind, and after a while them weights have become into sins, and they'll turn you away from the path of God. And tonight, I want to tell you, just because anger come in your mind, and because you thought about slapping her or hitting him, or something come into your mind to say a bad word, if you didn't do it, that does not mean that you've sinned. But I want to tell you, if you're here tonight, if that's been bugging you, if there's some kind of lost, lustful thought, are you listening to me, comes into your mind, young man, and it continues to stay there, and you do not get in these altars and ask God to help you and deliver you from that, it won't be but a matter of hours until that's planted into your heart, and you may be the next rapist that'll take a little 3-year-old girl somewhere and rape and molest her daughter. That's her buddy. Brother, in my town, we have some of the most ungodly acts that there ever was. You know what? Many of them was boys and girls that went to the house of God, but they finally let thoughts get a hold of them, and they didn't repent of them, and they began to practice what came into their mind, and after a while, it was like a chain that shackled them and burdened them and pull them down. And tonight, in the state penitentiary of Oklahoma, there is men there that used to shout on a rostrum. There is men there that used to speak in tongues. There is men there that used to be in a Sunday school class, but because the chains of habit got a hold of them, it pulled them away from their mother's God, and there they'll rot on death row. Brother, it's so dangerous tonight to let the chains of habit get a hold of you. Are y'all helping me? Brother Dave, what about it? I have a cousin that is a young man this age, boys. Stay with me now. His mama run in the bars. His daddy didn't claim him. And there's a story to that. All they could do with him, young men, is set him in front of a television. And there, watch the cartoons. Nothing wrong with cartoons, are they? They set little Elvin in front of that tube until every time you met him. Nothing wrong with cartoons, are they? What's your name, Elvin? Donald Duck. Quack, quack. That's right. Stupid. You couldn't get a decent answer out of that boy. He never had a mom or dad that told him nothing decent. They used it as a babysitter. After a while, all he was, and it began to get a hold of his mind, until he was the boy in a spaceship. He was a duck flying through the air, and every move and every word he had was something that was silly. I took him and tried to help him, but as a young man, he began to lie, and he began to steal, and he began to be untruthful. I preached to you last night, boys, if you keep lying, it'll get a hold of you till it'll wreck you. It'll chain you until you'll lie when you didn't really even want to lie, just to tell a lie. That's right. Come on with me just a while tonight. That boy finally got with two rich boys and went up and robbed the place. They didn't even have bullets in the gun. They put him up there. Their daddies was rich. They got attorneys to get them out of it. But they sent my little friend away to the state penitentiary for 15 years for armed robbery. This is a boy that was little like he was, that loved me and wanted to come home with me at times. They sent him to the jail. He grew up to be a teenager, tough, smart. Hit me if you see an open spot. Try it. Oh, he got tough, and he got smart, Alec. They put him in the jail in Oklahoma County Jail. In a few hours, he rung his mother weeping and crying. Said, there's homos in this jail with me. I ain't near as tough as I thought I was. They beat on him. They pestered him. He begged for another jail cell to put him in another, and was the same kind of treatment. He began to realize that the chains of habit had got a hold of him, and it's going to be a rougher road than he thought it was. When they was first started, there's little bitty chains, and he could break them, and he could run. But the longer he stayed in sinful condition, the chains got bigger, and they got stronger, until he was in the county jail. They finally shipped him away to the penitentiary. I went to see him. As I talked to one of the men there, the chaplain, he said he's no longer here at Lexington. We couldn't control him. He as good as lost his mind. He would fight all the time. He was scared what was wrong with him. They didn't know. They thought it's just me. No, inside a little Elvin, he was scared, and he just swung out at everything that come by him. I'm telling you, he started stealing at an early age, and he thought he could break it, but he couldn't do it. He come out in 7 years, I believe it was. Do you know, you would think a boy that couldn't spend Christmas at home. This boy couldn't sit down with mama. He couldn't go fishing. He couldn't go hunting. He couldn't go to a youth camp. He couldn't go to town. He couldn't go play any games. He couldn't play ball. You'd think after 7 years in the state pen, behind the bars and the locked gates, that he had learned his lesson. He wanted to, and he said, I'll get out. I'll not steal anymore. It wasn't but just a few weeks after he was out, I got a phone call. They said, Elvin's back in Mi'kmaq. I said, back there? Yeah, he got with two other boys, and they stole a pickup truck. And now, for I don't know how many more years, the youth that he had's going to fade away. The sparkle in his eyes done gone. He'll not know it like you young boys that are here tonight. He'd give anything in the world if he could get out of jail and start all over in a youth camp and have a mama that'd pray for him and a daddy that wasn't a thug that's a running away from the law and is a fugitive tonight. Oh, you're blessed, young man. You're blessed, young lady, if you have a mama and a daddy that's trying to break the sins, the chains of sin that are trying to shackle you tonight. Oh, you're privileged to have a pastor that'll warn you and talk to you and tell you the truth. Would you help me? Amen, boys. Amen, girls. That ain't near loud enough. Boys. Girls. Grown-ups. Hallelujah. No, Barry Lace, I've got another friend tonight that's in the penitentiary. A nice-looking boy that if he was on the ground, you young girls would look at him and want his address. He started off with sex sins that he thought he could handle with a girl or two. But overnight, he forgot that he was no longer a juvenile. I went down to the courthouse, and I looked at the judge or the lawyer, and I said, can we get the young man off? He said, Moore, have you looked at his record? I said, I have not. Said, he's up for attempted murder. He's up for rape. He's up for I don't know what all. I said, how many years is he going to get? He said, we're looking at the tune of 100 years. They told me, he said, but we're going to wait and plead his case at Christmas time and go with the mercy of the court, hoping that the judge will be more lenient. And tonight he's put away, and here a while back I got a letter from him. Did you know when that young man started with those sex sins and drinking a little liquor, he said, I can break it, I can control it, but tonight, go talk to him as he weeps behind the bar. He doesn't come home for Thanksgiving. He doesn't come home any time of the year, but they call him a criminal. He's a convict. He's got a name on him tonight. The chains of habit so wrapped him up until it looks like he's almost doomed. Somebody get me a song here in a little bit. I've got another friend I went to school with that went off to Nam. They told him, son, if you go over there and commit sex sins in Vietnam, there's things over there, there is no hope for you, and that you, I want your attention now, I ain't through, but listen here, if you go over there and commit them, they told him, it'll kill you, and you'll die as a young man. If I had him here tonight, I'd ask him, do you want to die early? No. Do you want to die and have disease in your body when you didn't have to? No. But there was such a chain of lust that got a hold of him. till they brought him back from Vietnam. Not with a discharge of being honorable. Not because of wounded in action. No, not at all. Charlie, I want you to play for me here in just a minute. Play that song again. I've made up my mind what I want to do here. I want to play. Hey, brother, all of a sudden, that boy come home and they put him over there in a bed. This is a young man that was good looking. This was a young man that could have had almost any girl he wanted to marry and could have been healthy to this day and could have been living. But tonight, outside of the town of Newcastle, in a little cemetery over by Blanchard, Oklahoma, there's a little tombstone there that says Fox on it. Here's a boy that got shackled by the chains of habit, of lust, and now he's dead and he's in eternity and he's probably burning in hell. Are y'all trying to help me? I know of another young man. Tonight this devil possessed sat in a Sunday school and started fighting. He was such a toughie they all come and got him to do their fighting. He'd fight and fight and fight. I went and played for him the other day, boys. I laid hands on him. He looked at me, wanted to fight me. He wanted to kill me. He wanted to hurt me. He is devil possessed. And it all started back in his little fighting and his little temper. It got such out of hand in him that now he's devil-possessed. And he wants to fight his wife, his children, and everybody. And he's as good as chained in a room in the bottoms of Oklahoma City. Oh, I've spent so long on this. Let me finish with this. Early one morning, Jesus stepped off of a boat and he stepped on shore. Maybe the fog is just lifting. Sun just coming up. He may have stretched and said with the disciples, "What a glorious day. What a fine day." All of a sudden, out of the semi-shadows, there's a voice that screams out, "Ah!" Maniac of Gadara comes running down the shore. Here's a man that's been shackled with chains. Here's a man that started as a young man. Here is a man that was probably taught right, but somewhere in his life, somewhere he missed it, and he began to be shackled and shackled and shackled. Let me have your attention. Somewhere in his heart, there was a desire for God. I want your attention. It may be a little funny, but I'm talking about a devil tonight. That's a putting chains just as real. It's on Sester here tonight. That's a chain in your mind and a chain in your soul. You hear me? That little bit of lying and that little bit of stealing and that little making fun and that hardness in your heart, after a while, it'll be as real as a chain that's on him. Why do you come to torment me? Does it look like tonight that I've come to torment this man? When I say, "Brother, oh, I can't even call you a sinner. It's hard to play it. If I can, sinner, do you want me to lift this chain?" Does that sound like I'm trying to do you wrong, sir? Jesus come to liberate him, to help him. He says, "No, no. I don't even sound right. Let me pull these off. Let me take these off of you. Why did he fight it? What is it that he did a hold of a man to refuse help? It's nothing but the devil of hell and the devil of Ohio and the devil of this world. He comes as a roaring lion. He comes as an angel of light. But as he roars the one who cries, he'll leave you pounded. He'll leave you shackled. He'll leave you rot. He'll leave you destroyed." This is the man that got so vile that his wife couldn't be around him. Let me use that. I don't know. Let me give you a little opinion. Is that all right? This is the man so vile that little children couldn't get close to him. They had to grab him. They had to shackle him. They had to chain him. This is the man that got so vile in his cursing and ripping his clothes from his body that they had to take him away from the tabernacle and they had to put him out yonder and chain him to the trees. This is the man that got so vile that the strong men couldn't handle him. This is the man that got so far away from God, indignant. This is the man that got so lustful that no woman could be around him. No girl could be around him. No boy could be around him. And finally the community voted on it and said, you say, Dad, look here. I'm carrying them now. They're off of me. I'm unshackled. I met a man called Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great tonight if every young man and every young lady would go home to Decapolis and say, Mama, look here, Daddy, look here, sister, look, brother, I've been set free. I've been born again. Let's stand. Let's worship. Get your hands in there. Quit talking. Get your hands in there. Ah, chains of habit. But it's yours, Brother Jim was here tonight. That boy didn't know what to do. But he said, go back over there. That lady that was scared of you, that you made advances at, you walk up to her and bow humbly and say, ma'am, Jesus Christ has saved me. I'll never do that again. He had to go back home.